Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. I am broadcasting tonight live from the Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael. And co-hosting me tonight, with me tonight, is Bruce Terrell.
Yes. Hello, my name is Bruce Terrell. And tonight we're having an evening with Robert Young, who I experience is to be a living example of what's possible for all of us. It's available now. He often talks about letting go of everything we've learned and really claiming the present moment and what's possible for us now. And exciting evening lies ahead for us.
So we're here at the Open Secret Bookstore. It's filling up, and lots of guests. Robert's going to speak soon. But Bruce, why don't you just tell them a little background about you while I set up the logistics. Tell people about who you are and what you do.
So my name is Bruce Terrell, and I call myself a breakthrough coach. But basically, I work with people with a lot of different modalities to help them really identify the core places that are actually keeping them from really coming in and sharing their power and their essence and their life force and making a difference in the world. My belief is that we all have incredible gifts to share, and often it just takes a little, I find in my coaching practice, it just takes a little bit of fine-tuning to be able to have that aha place of remembering what is truly possible, and that we're here on this earth not just to evolve, so to speak, for ourselves, but also to dance together and to contribute. And Robert Young, as I was saying earlier, is a phenomenal example of this. Here's someone who just is very much wanting to break away from structures of hierarchy, and keeps emphasizing again and again that each of us has direct access to our own truth and our own knowing and our own power. And so, as Alan was saying, the room continues to fill up, and this space, Open Secret Bookstore, is a place where I myself personally have been to many, many teachers and satsangs for decades, and what I appreciate, and each of these teachings and teachers has an incredible flavor, and what I appreciate about Robert is he focuses so much on the energy reality of our experience. A lot of what he does, in fact, he says that 99% of what he's doing is working our energy and working his energy and working the energy of the room. And the words are important. The words are important as a grounding, anchoring place. And yet, what's really going on, I think you can sense this as you see the sparkle in his eyes. What's really going on is what I term is an energy transmission. That energy really does, can be transmitted. We all are it. And when someone is in that place of sparkle and connectedness, we can easily remember the fact that we are too. My introduction to this work I was watching a video with my partner online of Robert, and we both immediately felt currents and movements happening in our bodies. We felt shifts. And I had this sudden impulse to send them an email and say, hey, we'd like to see you in California. And we sent off this email, and we got an email back, and they've been in California now for the first time for 5 days, and we've had given private sessions and doing events. This is a really special occasion for each of us really to find our own way. Robert was talking earlier today about how each of our paths and each of the ways we're configured is really, really different, and we're just all completely unique. And you were saying the other day that often people say that we hear that phrase, everybody, or just generalizations, but the truth is each of us are really unique flavors on their own. So each one of these evenings is different, and just allow yourself to be present. And
tell us a little bit about what you've been writing on your blog or your website, because I think you're part of this transformation. And then we'll go into Robert as he starts. But give people back.
Yeah, that sounds good. One of the things that I was writing about on my web last night, this was just on my Facebook page, but I kind of published it as well, is that for a long, long time, there's been this idea of a spiritual path, which people have been very... in my 20s, I adopted this idea of a spiritual path to some kind of goal. And what I've experienced through working with Robert is that we are the joy we're seeking. We are the freedom we're seeking. And the whole dance of a path is really legitimate. There's a place for it. There's nurturance in it. There are discoveries in it. the very process of exploring, the very adventure of that has a lot of power to it. And yet there's also a place of claiming the fact that we are, as we are, just as we are expressions. We are already expressions of the divine essence. We are already expressions of those of awakening. And taking time to remember that that is powerful. Remember that we are at SOAR, hearing different speakers and teachers. And in just a minute, we're about to move over to an introduction to the program. Thank you so much. And welcome.
Well,
you want to sit down?
Was like completely unknown to how long ago was
it? Are they hearing?
9 months ago.
Hey, are you hearing the speaker back there at the studio?
He's burned all the lights since. So there's this conversation about him being a walking soul, and we had a nice chat about that yesterday, and it's my sense that Robert is not.
This is Geraldine Jourdieu introducing Robert Young.
He has his finger on the pulse of the interdimensional realities that we exist within, more than anyone I've encountered in my many years of living in Marin County. And we all know how many people we meet here that have something to say about the elaborate intricacies of the phenomenological world. So I will say a whole lot more other than to say angel.
Okay. Okay, well, now we're going to pick up a live talk with Robert Young from the Open City Bookstore here. So, Don, if it's too low, let me know.
And eventually, bringing you along on a trip that will open your spirit. Elevate your spirit. And turn off your mind. The first thing that people are concerned about is what might be wrong with them. And if I tell you straight out that there's nothing wrong with you, there never has been, and there never will be, and all the work you've done change yourself and improve yourself, pretty well a waste of time. And I had a comment the other night on the weekend. Well, how about giving my money back? So what we're about to move into is a demonstration in some ways, but the talk in others. The demonstration you will feel as we go along, and you'll feel the energies that I know are yours, that I will actually connect with as we talk, and you'll feel a slight difference between now and when we finish having a bit of a discussion. The weeks leading up to this have been marvellous. We've visited many places and we've discussed our connection with many, many people. And a lot of those people are here now. The big thing that we've discussed is what is this all about? What do I feel? And where do I go from here? And I've not answered any of those questions. I've just taken you all to a place where you find out that you already know. I'll just go back to where it all started, if you like. And it all points towards an accident that I had in 1986, where history indicates that the person in this body moved away and I moved in and took over. But there's a lot more than that. And I'll run through it fairly quickly, but with some detail that gives you some idea of why I'm now talking, and I haven't up until that, up until this day. At the accident, there were many things that I remember, and there are also many things that I don't remember. But the highlights sort of came through after a period when I wrote, when I spoke to people, when everything came back to me as it does over a period. But the first thing I remember, probably, is the flash of white that happened just before the accident. And I've not mentioned that before, it just came back to me. And then I remember standing outside the car. The car was facing in the opposite direction. The truck was pushed over to the side of the road from the impact. And I was standing in total silence on a busy freeway. And that's really never the case. But it was total silence, and I remember that very clearly. And I remember looking at the truck and looking at the car and actually looking in through the window at this body. It didn't mean much to me. There was no thought. It was just a memory. And the next thing I remember is the total frustration of trying to make my hands work. Of pushing into the arms and trying to connect with something. And I remember the total relief, release and relief when I started to move my fingers. The next thing I remember is standing outside the car, but this time in the body. Once again, no thought, no feeling of distress or even any understanding of what's happening. And then I remember a nurse arriving and she put me into the back seat of the car. The car really, there was one door you could open, that was the back. The front of the car was sort of wrapped up over the seat. The passenger seat was sitting outside the car and the window sort of surrounded it. And the seat wasn't broken. There's the rest of the car folding around it. And where I sat was a tiny little space with the steering wheel folded backwards, broken off. I only know about that from the photos. And it didn't seem like there was any room for me. I don't have any photos of the door or how I got out or whatever. But after the nurse found me, she put me in the back seat, checked me out, and then it disappeared, and the doctor arrived, and he simply said, "Where's the driver?" And after telling him I was the driver, he didn't believe me. And he looked around, and then he came back, and he said, "Are you sure you're the driver?" And I said, "Yes." So he did similar things to the nurse, and made sure I was reasonable and asked me about a few things that were broken, and then he left as well. And the next thing, the paramedics arrived with a major apology. There were two of them there, and they, in the typical Australian style, said, "Wow, sorry mate, there's only two of us here, the other, the rest of them got back to get the shovels. I thought we'd have to clean up." And they honestly couldn't imagine anybody surviving, particularly not so damaged. The next thing I remember is some interaction with a tow truck driver where he borrowed my pen and started to write out some form on the back of the car. And I can remember saying, hey, get off the car, you damaged the paint. And people tell me that I was so insistent, I had no idea what was wrong with the car. I travelled back to the hospital in an ambulance, and going around the corners, the attendant really pulled back and said, oh. And I asked him what was wrong, and he said, your bones are crunching as you go around the corner. And I remember just saying, well, I can't feel anything. Just keep going, I'm right. At the hospital, it was the regular thing of checking everything out, and it took some time. But it got to a point when they were doing some x-rays where I just said, you'll have to hurry. I think I'm shutting down. From that point, I went into repair mode, as we all do, and was in intensive care for some time, and they were quite concerned about me. But I started to recover in a very short time. Several days disappeared, but I got on with recovery. And this is really the story that you hear from most accidents. The only difference was I really couldn't remember too much about too many people. And it took a while before anybody really checked me out. And it was some months, actually, before they found out that I had brain damage. And at that time, I was at home. And the family sort of were relieved by the diagnosis because they couldn't understand what had been happening to me. So I went on for some years attempting to recover, attempting to bring back everything I've done in the past. And I did fairly well. I limped around and often fell over and lost my way and found that my memory wasn't stable. Even though I didn't know too much about myself, I found that I could be walking along across the floor and all of a sudden everything would disappear. Even to the extent where I couldn't walk, couldn't see, and I couldn't talk. And gradually, over a few seconds, it would start to come back again. I worked through this for some time and managed to do things like get my hands to work again. And I found that I had to write a lot. But that skill sort of a little bit rusty to handle a pen and to know what to do with it. It was really strange. But over a period, I managed to improve it. And I used to walk in the bush, the woods here. And that was one of my greatest reliefs. Walking in the bush. And writing every now and then just to drain off what I thought was all the crazy thoughts that were going on. And gradually I got to a point where I could go back to work, I thought. I managed to do the work that I'd done 20 years before, and that was the maximum of my capacity. And it wasn't long before I couldn't continue that. I didn't have the stamina. Over a period of about 5 years, I moved in and out of all sorts of things and tried to move forward. Tried to teach myself things again, and all the time not really relating to anyone very well. And at that point, about 5 years, the doctors said, well, we can't do any more for you. And that seemed to do something to me. I decided something way deep in the background that I don't know where it came from. But there was a drive in me to do something about it. I didn't accept the fact that there was nothing could be done. And so I started really working with the trees and really listening to the guidance that came to me regularly. And I was directed how to use my energies to hold me up. I was shown how to expand my energies out and lower them down like a hovercraft so that it would take the weight off my body. I used to walk around a running track, we'll just call it the oval, and I'd stay between the lines. That was fairly difficult, actually, because my balance wasn't real good. But then I got instructions to close my eyes, ran into the fence many times, fell over, kept going until I could do it. And I found that I could track my way around the oval and pretty well stay within the lines if I just sneak a look every now and then. I was then told to do it backwards. And 4 or 5 steps backwards and you start to get a bit staggered. But I was pushed to continue. And eventually I was then told to do it with my eyes shut. And that really stretched me. And the more I pushed, the more difficult it became. Until all of a sudden, I'm up above my head, looking down, watching where I'm going. And I walked around backwards with my eyes shut. And I've been told since then that that is a practice of the arts of, I think it's yoga actually, where they stay blindfolded for days until they can actually see where they're going and you pop out of your body. Anyway, that happened to me. And I found then that my interaction with the trees was very intimate, to the extent where I could pull energies into my body to actually keep me going. And then I could see energy spots in the trees that were specifically for me. The colours would change and indicate that I could drag those energies into myself. I could see the colour change back again as the energy drained into me. And I found that over a very, very short time, I could run. Not very well, I had quite a bit. And I was told by my sister that there was a course in Sydney called Mindpedos, which is sort of a good thing to see if I could get a little bit more training to handle whatever was happening in the brain. So I went along to that and she joined me. And over about a 4-week period, a couple of nights a week, we'd go down to Sydney and we'd sit in on this Mindpedos course. Coming towards the end of it, there was an announcement that there'd be an invitation to one or two in the group to go on a little way, 8-day little way course up in the mountains, which would be a spiritual advancement seminar. As soon as I heard that, I knew that I had to do it. But it was by invitation. And that same night, we were told that the whole seminar was booked out in Sydney and that we wouldn't be offered any positions until the next year. There were places in Melbourne, but we wouldn't be offered that. So I went home that night and I sat on the end of the bed. And I could feel that I had to do something about that and at the end of the bed there was TV antenna that just looked like rabbit's ears. And I thought, well, if I can activate that, I can really send a signal to whoever it is that's running these courses. So I concentrated on that, and to my surprise, they lit up blue. A blue light around each one of them, and it merged up, and then it started to arc between them. And it just seemed natural. And I sent my message. I knew it got to where it had to go. And the next day, sure enough, I got a phone call to say, there's a course, there's a position available in the course in Melbourne, which was quite away from where I lived. So I accepted, and the family reaction was massive, because I had trouble really walking around the corner, let alone finding my way on the plane for a couple of hours, and then finding accommodation, and then travelling 2 hours out to a resort in the mountains. But somehow I managed to get around their reactions, and I went. As soon as I arrived in Melbourne, something happened. And I took all the medication that I was supposed to take regularly, and I flushed it down the toilet. And that was the start of a major change that at the time I wasn't aware of. But I went on this 8-day little way course. I'll just jump back a little bit. Before I went on that course, I had a feeling I had to prepare. And I was up amongst the trees again. And I had my right leg about the same size as my arm because it had shrunk after the damage in the accident. And I was sitting under the tree and I looked down and I thought, well, if I took a copy of that leg and put it on that leg, it would probably know what to do. And I did that consciously. Took all the details on the left leg and laid it over the right leg. And I was very happy with what I'd done. And then within 5 minutes, those legs were the same size. I wasn't watching at the time, but I just looked down and thought, oh, that's good, and just kept walking. The family even saw it and said, well, there mustn't have been anything wrong with your leg. That was wrong. And there were a few occasions where I walked out of the bush where it had been raining a lot, and family came out to find me, and I was dry. And they couldn't believe that either, but it was confirmed by my mother sometime later that that was normal. My aunt used to do the same. So the family had to at least take that one on, but they never took the leg bit on. Back to the Liverway camp, when I got there, it was a bit of a surprise because there were these rules. They said nobody talks about their home life, where they come from, what work they do, or even who they are. You only talk to the person that's in front of you, and you discuss nothing outside of this camp. And if you go up to that table, there's a heap of cards. Pick one up, turn it over, that's your name while you're here. And what that did, it allowed me to be a whole new identity. It sort of released me from the pictures that everybody else had placed on me. And the picture of the past that I probably placed on myself. And over 8 days, I apparently changed a lot, but nobody at the camp noticed. At the end of the camp, on the last day, they had a special day where all the ladies went off and did something and men went off and attempted the Army RAP course, which is the one that the Marines use to qualify. And it's very difficult thing through the trees with slack rope ladders and ropes and all sorts of things. Not many Marines get through it. Of course, I did the right thing and went straight through it and had no problems. All the young fit men in the camp had a lot of difficulty and many didn't get past halfway. And the trainer said, wow, you've done that a lot of times, haven't you? And I said, I've never seen it before in my life. It impressed me when he said that, because I didn't even think that it would be difficult to just get it. Someone said do it, so I did. When I got to leave the camp, I was so happy and free and natural. I was walking around reading people before they spoke, knowing exactly how they felt. If I felt a difficulty in somebody, it would reflect in my body and I would just change it, and that would immediately fix it for them. And amongst the people on the camp, that was fine. But when I got home, it didn't go so well. And I had no idea what was wrong, because I had no reference. I only knew me as I was. I didn't know what I'd done wrong when I answered people and they hadn't said anything. Or I opened the door and said hello to somebody before they got there. Many, many little things like this. I would stop people from saying the wrong thing before they even got their mouth open. And people don't like that. I could see so far ahead that I would tell people before they walk out the door exactly what was going to happen if they didn't look where they were going. I could see so far ahead as far as they were concerned, but it was normal to me. If I needed to do anything, I just asked and it came. I found that there was a requirement to either relearn or recover what the previous person had known in engineering. And it wasn't available to me because I had the history, but it never lived there. I knew about the person before the accident only if somebody put me in the right place in the book. And then it was like a black and white movie or a black and white photo, and I wasn't there. So any detail apart from what was in front of me in picture form wasn't available. So I simply asked what I should do, got no answer, and decided, well, I'd better do something. So I sat and I decided that I should really brush up on computers. I couldn't use them at the time. Each time I tried to do something, it just wouldn't work. So I decided to do something about that. And I just sat with it for a full day and found myself starting to wind back. And I don't know what I wound back, but I wound myself back until I felt I was 2 years old. And at that point, every bit of information I needed just rushed in. And I can remember going down to the newsagent just to check out how I went. And every magazine I picked up on computers, electronics, electrical, whatever it was, I knew it all. So within 12 months I was well standing in electrical, electronics and computers. And I have, since then, I've had a major history in doing some fairly upmarket work in industry, shipping and rail. And I've built fairly major conversions on both commercial and naval ships. I was engineering operations manager for 10X Defence, building the frigates for the Australian Navy. I was an electrical technical authority for the Navy as a private person. I was approved by Lloyd's of London as a construction manager. And I go on. And all this comes to nothing. So now I'm back to the point where we start to talk about where all this came from. I remembered clearly my origin. I remembered the feeling I had before I came onto this earth. I remembered that I was promised that somebody would direct me when I got here. A partner. I remembered the joy of the interaction between people. And I remembered how, if I wanted to see the beautiful scene, there it was. If I wanted to sit down there to chair there, if I wanted to write something, it just appeared for me. I remember that. The manifestation instantly. And I also remember the ability of beings to move through one another and the magic feeling of the interaction of our energies. And all this I couldn't find here, with the exception of my connection. I worked with that connection in many, many ways, not knowing what it was, but I knew that I couldn't live without it. I wrote so much and never read it. I had to write, I had to get that flow. And many, many pages lay all around the place until somebody picked a batch of it up and read it and said, "Who wrote this?" I said, "Oh, that's some of mine." I started collecting it all. And it was very profound information. Very detailed information about life. About how it works. About how we've got it all back to front. About how the brain works. How it doesn't work. How relationships work. And how partnerships work. The difference between normal life and abnormal life. And the detail about what we were given when we came to this earth. And as that was brought back to me, I just nodded and said, right. It was natural. Until people started to ask, what does it mean? And as far as I was concerned, I really didn't know what I knew. I only put forward what was there when a question was asked. But these writings actually indicated that there was much more. And so over a period, I spoke to many people, and I found that I had to tone a lot of energies down. I went to every course you could think of. I tried to find out who I was. I attempted to stay in the background and just look around and see what was happening. I could find out everything about all the practical stuff. I could find out anything I wanted technically. But I didn't know how to use the things in this world. I used to say to people, I'll build you a telephone, but don't ask me to use it. I have no idea how. I put very sophisticated radio systems into ships, planes, and I could do all that. I could program all sorts of things. But to use it, I had no idea what it was for. And as soon as somebody else started, I was fine. All of that led me to a point where it was only 12 months ago. I found that I had finalized all the duties that were required of me to complete all the tasks of this body. And my family is settled and without difficulty, and to be free of any reaction that was caused by the events around the accident. I also went through many difficulties with remarrying, many difficulties financially, and they all came to a close about 12 months ago. And right at that time, Barbara turned up. And the story from there is that I had the guide I needed here on earth, and she was ready for me to talk. Where that all goes from here is yet to be seen, but it has gone very fast from 12 months ago. We've been to America four times. We've been five. Alan's interviewed me on YouTube, and it's gone to 30,000 people around the world. We've had feedback from all around the world about what I talk about. And many, many people have said things like, you've given me a template for my life. I've written a book called The Magic of Life, and it's out there. But I didn't write it. I sat and delivered it into a tape recorder. And I did that over about a 3-week period. It took a lot longer than that for the book to come together. But the story and everything in it was such a magic thing for experience. I just started to talk into the tape, and it took on its own form. I was so interested, I cried, I laughed, I got up early in the morning, I couldn't wait to put the next bit on tape. It flowed, And I thought I knew where it was to go. I thought I knew the characters. But every time I did, it changed direction. It produced the magic that I knew within me. And put it on paper in the form of a novel. A very unique novel that I know will open the hearts of many. And I hope to take advantage of the fact that it's there. There will be more. It's called Volume 1. And the only thing that's in that book is the story. There's nothing else. And the cover is a photograph of the scene outside of the house where I delivered the story. And all the colours are genuine. The sea is actually a purple colour. It was early in the morning. It was just magnificent. One of the things that came out of all the story that I'll tell you about is the fact that I can feel each one of you. And there's a recognition that each one of you understands. It's an ancient connection that we all have. A familiarity that we see in one another's eyes and we feel in the energies around us. And as I speak to people, their world changes. Mainly because I'm sitting here holding up a sign saying, remember where you came from. Remember who you are. And stand tall. Because the project is still on. We are changing the world. And we came here with everything in our hearts. And not one rule in our head. I've spoken about the elevation of each one of you and how what you see of yourself at the moment is a tiny, tiny fraction of who you are. I speak about your ability to be in all places at once. Be in all times at once. And to bring in whatever is needed from the unknown in an instant. And if I say to you a little exercise, see yourself up in a plane, on a train, on the other side of the world, looking down on the Alps, in France, Paris, in Germany, on top of the Eiffel Tower, looking down on the stars, on the other side of this room. If not one of you had to imagine anything, you just didn't. Because you are everywhere. And if you're prompted, you will look from everywhere. And that is the universal view that's sitting here in front of you. And you've never tried it before. But in an instant, you are everywhere. Your ability to see is phenomenal. You see with your eyes closed even. And you know if someone walks behind you. You know if someone walks into the room, it's a little bit iffy. You know if your child is going to tell you a lie. And you know that the signals from the person you're talking to are a little bit out of order. They're not exactly the same as what you expect. You actually know what's in every other person's mind. You know what they're about to say. And then if you hear from their mouth something that's different to that signal, you find they're not very trustworthy. And this is happening to you every day. The brilliance of your being is such that you can invite yourself into the world of your creator in a fraction of a second, where everything is perfect, where there are no problems, and where everything works in the correct manner, where everything you say to somebody is delivered in a perfect manner, without any distortion and without any possibility of another meaning. You've all experienced all of these things. And you do things like teach your children to ride a bicycle, where you actually give them very little instruction. Pick them up, put them on the seat, put their hands on the handlebars, pick on the pedal, hold the seat and say, steer and pedal. Boom, that's it. And you think that's all of it. And I sit there and watch it, and I can see the energy flowing from the child. And I know that everybody's transmitting every single movement, every single balanced thought that's required to hold that child in the function of riding a bicycle. To such an extent that you can take your hand away and then just continue to ride. If you step back, or they lose confidence, or fall over. Because it breaks the transmission. So nobody's ever thought that this happens. They just take it all for granted. And in fact, when the child's ready, they open up the filter above their head and connect to their world, to their information. And when they're confident, they ride off. It may not be perfect, but they ride off and they come back and they say, look what I'm doing. I've never heard one of them say, thanks for teaching me. And yet, we go through life with the pretense that we have to be taught and that we teach one another. And in fact, all we're doing is transmitting the necessary experience to those around us in such a way that they can open up their own information and access it directly from their source. In our whole lifetime, really, the only thing we've learned is that we already know. The rest of it is only practice until we decide to access our own information. And if you're reading a book, and a good example is mathematics, you read a problem, you check things out, you read so far, and all of a sudden the light goes on and you say, oh, God. Close the book and you know more than what was in the book. I see all this happen. I see the interaction between people. And I can only use the word see because they are sensitivities and senses that I don't have words for. I know all about the interaction because I'm still sensitive to those things that we haven't listed. to use the word see. I'm about to actually open the door to many new senses that have not been listed in this world, but are here, and you know of them. And they are things that pick up subtleties that have never been listed as a sense, because we think if we don't hear it, we see it, or feel it, it doesn't exist. You have a little child that's standing there looking at something across the room, and you know that they look at something, and then they just pop off.
This is Alan Steinfeld from the Open Secret Store. We're just listening to a lecture by Robert Young that's still in process. But towards the end of that, Robert was touching on the idea of new senses, which is exactly what New Realities is all about. So thank you for listening tonight. Thank you, Don, studio. I appreciate this. And there'll be more from Robert Young, more developments from New Realities. And that was exactly the last point that Robert touched on, was exactly the point that we'll be picking up as far as understanding new expression of who we are and creating new realities. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check my website, newrealities.com, and stay tuned for more shows. Thanks for listening.
Sample from Vivi's, he died for us, they gave for us, that said, look at this movie and count the number of times they pass the ball. And everybody concentrated on that. At the end of it, he said, so did you see a gorilla walk across the front? And nobody did. Because the boundaries were set different to what you expect. Sure enough, played it again, and there's a gorilla walking, what's looking around, walking back. And then there's another one. So that's a very good indication of what's happening to us. Our focus is limited to all the things we've done before, and to all the patterns that come with the play world. And I don't think I've mentioned that. We come into this world with two worlds. We give two worlds. One's a play world, one's a world of the creator. And the play world is to make mistakes, play around in, do work, fiddle with, and make big failures. The world we created is the world where it is good, bad, or indifferent, and it has a place, and nothing is disturbed. And neither of those worlds will cross over. So in the play world, there's no use asking for souvenirs. That's your name, your will, and you've got free will. The world we create doesn't know what free will is, because nothing needs any will. And from that place, you can stretch into the world, the play world. So, logically, it's easier to be in the world you created and access everything, including the play world, and be able to make it so that nothing goes wrong and everything fits. In that situation where you invited yourself into the world of your creator, genetic fix. You can stretch into the most difficult of situations and know that if you wish, you can stop. And you'll be careful and strike back into the world of your creator and never have to fix anything. So all the exercises we've done are based on living totally in the play world, taking responsibility for everything yourself and building a beautiful heaven on earth and watch it die. The simplicity of life based on you inviting yourself into that world of perfection. And if you want to prove that it's there, simply look at childhood, look at accidents, look at what happens when a child runs into a wall. No one dies. In all those cases, you're catapulted into that world of your creator. We are totally protected, no matter what's happening. And there's a sense that goes with that. It says, I'm all right. And we've had a lot of little talks about how the brain works, how the programs work. It's obvious to see many of the things that we forget if you want to look at a child. And the best one is if they run into a brick wall. If you don't look, you keep well out of the road, they look around and take off without a scratch. If you look, they'll bleed, they'll need attention, they'll suffer. And the simplicity is, we have the possibility of running two programs. One that says, well, with me. And the other one that says, well, that's over, fix it. And the one that says that's over, fix it, is the real program. We have a brain that is totally there to find problems.